comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. Welcome to iPOS. I'm Eric Nwemi. Join us every Friday night at 7 p.m. only on Double Radio 92.7 FM. The call-in is always open at 844-967-2789. Again, that's 844-967-2789. And welcome back to another show. Tonight, before I introduce my guests, I do want to say that this is the second to last show, so it seems very kind of bittersweet. Also, I'm not quite in the studio, so you can kind of hear the natural kind of Wisconsin sounds from the window and maybe some owls, which kind of brings me into our guest. I want to introduce, Owl as an a group who has, do you want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Hi. My name is Wesley Zimmerman, she, hers, and I'm a mom of a three-year-old and a five-year-old, and they might be listening, and they asked if I could say hello. So hi, Honeybee. Hi, Junie. I've been a teacher for 14 years, and this coming school year, I'm taking a year off to tend to my family a bit more. And along with a group of middle schoolers at the time, I started OWL back in 2020, and some of those students are here with us now. I call them the founders. We call ourselves the founders because I wouldn't have founded OWL without them. So would you like to introduce yourselves?
Okay. My name is Chandan. I'm a 14-year-old, and I'll be going to West. And my pronouns are he, him.
My name is Layla. I'm also 14, and I will also be going to West. And my pronouns are she, hers.
My name is Mia. I'm going into sophomore year at West, and my pronouns are she, hers.
My name is Bryn. I will be going into freshman year at West High School, and my pronouns are she, hers.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for introducing yourselves. So what does OWL stand for in terms of, you know, the letters in OWL as an acronym, but also in terms of your mission?
Okay. OWL stands for Outdoors We Learn. And I think the mission is to create more opportunities for students to play and learn outside. OWL works around the MMSD school schedule, so we have after-school programs, and we offer programming when MMSD isn't in session. There's also summer camps.
That's really cool, yeah. So it's kind of an all-year-round activities for outside. That's interesting, especially in Wisconsin when we have such differing seasons. What is the OWL program kind of in a general sense?
The weather definitely keeps us on our toes. It keeps things interesting. Bryn or Layla, you could talk about a typical day at OWL.
So at OWL, we usually start with an opening circle, which is kind of a way to like wait for everyone to come. We usually do gratitude, where everyone goes and they say something about something they're grateful for. And then we do a land acknowledgement, which is something where in some way we acknowledge that there were like people here before us, the Ho-Chunk, generally. And then afterwards, we usually do some games. We're outside, so we usually walk around. Sometimes we like go into a lake if we're near a lake. The games can be like really sedentary, like where you sit. So it's like, something where you don't have to run around a lot, or you can like be running through a forest and you get a ton of scratches on your legs. And then we end with a closing circle where we like wrap everything up, we talk about what we did, and we say our goodbyes. Bryn, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, that sounds like a normal OWL day. I think part of what makes it like OWL is the group of people and like the whole atmosphere that has been created for OWL and like just spending time outside. So we do all these things every day, but it's super fun because of the people that are there and just how much we appreciate the outdoors that we are playing in.
Yeah, for sure. That sounds like a really fun kind of a day, and also just as a program and kind of like being able to learn in a very fun way. I noticed on your website you mentioned being a better citizen of the earth. What does that mean? And like in terms of your programming and kind of preparing students for the future?
Yeah, so I guess when we spend more time outside in nature, we begin to notice things naturally. And we're invited into the natural world. And by spending time outside, we sort of begin to broaden our circles of care. So just like you may tend to care for your home space or your backyard or the sidewalk by your home, we can expand those areas that we care and that we tend. For example, if you camp every year at this one park and you notice something shifting like water levels or a bird or tree species, you may begin to consider doing something about it. Just like you would if you noticed garbage on the sidewalk in front of your home, you know, we're more likely to tend and care for the places that tend and care for us. So when we're in OWL programming at the Glen or at Hoyt Park, for example, here in Madison, we begin to consider these spaces ours, and we look out for these places like our own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I really like that is kind of more action-based as well, and there's an action connected to it. How did OWL start? And so was it like out of need or out of like, was it student-driven?
Yeah, would one of you like to talk about that?
OWL started when a group of us were realizing that we were spending all day sitting inside during virtual school, staring at screens, bored out of our minds. And one of the students who is not here knew Wesley through her former school, and she reached out, and just through word of mouth, we collected a group of, I think, around 12 kids, and we started meeting. And it was just a godsend just to be outside and to be social. And we found times that worked for everyone, and we just kept meeting through the pandemic.
That's really cool.
Can I add that some of the parents of this group of students would share with me like, oh, this is the best part of their child's week, you know, because it's like finally we get to spend time with each other. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I felt that way too. Like OWL got me through virtual schooling as well. Mm-hmm. Teaching virtually is you know, it's no easy or fun mm-hmm. task.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how you added like how the impact on yourself as well. Yeah. What types of outcomes do you see from the program?
One major thing that I've noticed is that I'm just way more comfortable outside, like with bugs, with being wet, with being hot, with being cold, just any of the numerous slightly uncomfortable things you encounter while being outside. I just realized that it's not going to hurt me and it's okay. And another big thing is that I've, like Wesley was saying, I've just grown to love the outdoors a lot more and appreciate what our natural spaces in Madison do for us, and just have a lot more passion for how important it is to conserve these spaces.
Thank you. Yeah, I hadn't thought about like the comfortability aspect of it. But yeah, on your website, I know you were also talking about like the ways that the earth is sustaining us and how, you know, how is that taught and how can time outdoors help students and adults and teachers, obviously, understand the importance of the natural environment?
Yeah. You know that feeling when you spend too much time inside and you just need to go outside? Or mm-hmm. Mia was sort of talking about that earlier. It's like you're going nuts. And that feeling is because there's no way that the indoor environment can provide us with what we need. It doesn't meet our human needs. My good friend Meg Barrow, an occupational therapist, has taught me a lot about how nature and being outside helps us in our human bodies, like walking on uneven terrain, feeling the wind on our skin, laying on the earth. All of these things are what we were meant to do as humans and what we've, you know, evolved to do for years and years. Yeah, Mia, you were saying something earlier today about just like being able to, there's so much to look at outside and yeah.
Yeah, I was saying that inside everything is just really stagnant. Nothing ever changes. So you can really get in your head about all the numerous little things that don't really matter in your life. And then as soon as you go outside, there's birds and wind and animals and people going about their lives. And there's just so many more things to look at and experience and just engage all your five senses that it really takes you out of yourself and you feel a lot more centered.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and especially with the pandemic, I think that's definitely changed a lot of the ways that we maybe aren't going outside as much or aren't like, you know, inhibiting kind of those same spaces. But how do you think the pandemic has affected the ways that kids learn and especially their connection to the outdoors?
Yeah, at first with virtual school, I felt really distraught, like, oh no, screens won. You know, we're in this constant battle with screen time and setting limits and everything you need is on the phone and we're always battling our children about screen time. But then people began to seek balance and what's the, you know, exact opposite of sitting still on a screen indoors? It's going outside. So just as I was feeling hopeless about where we were headed, I noticed a shift towards people finding ways to prioritize their mental health and their time outside. So maybe after all, screens didn't win, but nature did. Mm-hmm. As folks needed some balance.
Yeah, and I think just being able to kind of like take a break, go outside and get off of the screen. And I think we should take a break right now. yeah, keep tuning in. We'll be right back. This is Life Goes On Air with Melanie. The call line is 844-967-2789. What music this is?
This is mine.
Nice.
Yeah, all you're right. Setting the mood.
Yeah. It kind of brings back the kind of like calming sensation we were having kind
we
of
could
before
use
the
it.
Break.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so we are here with Owl. And I was kind of wondering, like, what has your experience been like with Owl?
So my experience with OWL has been like, in one word, like enjoyable. I've really enjoyed getting together with the same people once a week, and it's really been something to look forward to, or it was something to look forward to, especially during the pandemic and in seventh grade when once a week we had the asynchronous day, and then as soon as that was over, we'd all go to some different nature, some different park or natural place, and we'd just relax and hang out and play games, and it was very like, relaxing and cleansing, and it just felt really good to have that time and space to do that. And so I think my experience has been enjoyable, and it's also been very like enlightening. Like I've learned all about these different places we've visited, or not places we've visited, but like the things we've seen and the flowers we've seen and all the different things that we experienced while we were there. And one of the things Wesley once, so she knows like this guy, he like Andy. Like he he does foraging in nature. So if he he walks through like 1 meter or like just for I don't know what I'm saying. Like for a hike, if he goes for a hike, he can probably point out like 10,000 different things that you can eat. And he's come in a couple of times and it's been really interesting to know that like all this stuff is there and we can actually eat it. It's not something like poisonous or toxic. It's not something to be afraid of. And knowing that is really like helpful because like we're not going to go hungry if there aren't veggies. Like we are, but like it just feels more calming somehow. Yeah. So I think it just helped me foster a more like powerful connection with nature.
Thanks, John. And I just want to give a shout out to Andy at What Got Gathered. Okay.
Yeah, my experience has also been amazing with OWL. I've gotten to meet so many cool people and just do so many like new things out in nature and learn a lot of fun games. And before OWL, I feel like I didn't have like an appreciation for nature. Like, I mean, I did a little bit, but not as much as I have now. I've learned so much about the outdoors and now I just love it so much more. And I've done things that I wouldn't have done, I think, prior to this whole experience. Like I went on a backpacking trip, which I don't think I would have had like the guts to do and the knowledge to do before OWL. And it has just taught me so much. So I'm grateful for this experience. I feel like mostly it's been fun and it's just made me so happy, but I've also learned a lot about nature.
Thank you. Yeah. I really like the kind of like imagery of also kind of like painting the imagery of being outside and how like calming and also like impactful that is. What do you think that you've kind of learned from OWL and kind of the OWL community?
I think for me, I've noticed and learned just how this type of programming is so needed. Kids need time to play and learn outside. We could all benefit from more outside time. Parents have shared that their kids come home happy. They're happier, lighter, less anxious after a day of playing and learning outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I haven't heard of a program like OWL, maybe a little bit, but in other places, but to see something like this happening so locally and with is really interesting. I just kind of wanted to get into kind of like what your perception of climate change is from OWL versus maybe after, or if that's something that maybe you talk about and the perception and also your perception of the natural environment.
Yeah, so I'm in close connection with a group called Wild Harvest Nature Connection, co-founded by Heather Hutchinson and Alex Britzius, who I consider mentors of mine. They do nature-based programming in Madison, mostly for homeschool groups, but they also do summer camps. And I began learning from them in 2017, and they've taught me a lot about my role within the natural environment. They also lead seasonal nature trainings for adults, and I highly recommend their offerings for kids and adults. And I don't really know what to say about climate change here. I feel like my role and what I want OWL's role to be is to continue to cultivate joy and a relationship between children and the earth and its inhabitants. If we focus on play and learning and interactions, curiosity, having a reverence for nature, that's what I want to focus on. And then I also just want to share that there's an author, David Sobel, who writes a lot about children and educating in nature. And he has a quote, and a lot of folks have versions of this quote, but here it is. If we want children to flourish, to become truly empowered, let us allow them to love the earth before we ask them to save it. I think we're just continuing to cultivate a love of nature.
Yeah, that's a beautiful quote. And I think I know that we are coming up on a break soon, but I really like that quote. And I kind of just wanted to ask, just kind of to finish us out here, just kind of like the importance of OWL. And we'll also talk about that later. But yeah.
The importance of OWL.
I know you were talking about that before,
yeah,
and
okay.
I guess we can also continue that afterwards.
Yeah, we got a nice 30 seconds.
Okay, just, I can do that.
Sort of round
that.
Off
yeah.
the top.
Yeah, so nature programming is important for so many reasons, and I think a big one that stands out to me is that, and we mentioned this, is that nature-based programming makes people happier, healthier, brighter, like shining brighter. And I see it in my own kid when she comes home from her wild saplings, her nature program, or just when she's playing in the sand pit outside, she's happy. And after a day of playing and learning outside, she has stories to tell me about her adventures. She's hungrier at dinner. She falls asleep faster at night. So I could talk about how time outdoors improves concentration, resilience, friendships, or more. Or we could sort of just revel in these happy, fulfilled children.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And we'll be back.
Are you dizzy yet? 'Cause you could walk away.
This is IPR Center with Noemi. We are coming in with Old Oaks Music, but we are also coming in with our musical guest, which is Flying Fuzz tonight. And yeah, so can you introduce yourselves and let us know, like, I guess what you're about?
I'm Benson. I'm the guitarist and the vocalist for Flying Fuzz.
I'm Cam. I also am both of those things, but less so.
I'm AJ and I'm the bassist.
Roll and heavy metal.
Very, very cool. Where did the name Flying Fuzz come from?
When I was in freshman year biology class, I was not paying attention, and I was scribbling out a bunch of names in a notebook, and a former band member at the time had told me he wanted the name Fuzz in whatever the band name turned out to be. And as a joke, I wrote down, in parentheses, I don't give a, and then Flying Fuzz. And I sent that list over to him, and he said, Flying Fuzz, that's the one. And I was like, really? Because that's a stupid joke name.
That's a great story. Thank you. Yeah, that's funny. I met our like co-director for our organization in freshman biology as well. So I guess that's just a place for inspiration. I know you kind of talked about this before, like how would you classify your music and like, yeah.
Awesome.
It's easiest to just say like hard rock, heavy metal, or whatever, but the truth is we really pull inspiration from all sorts of genres, you know, like blues, even a little bit of jazz sometimes.
Like rap.
Yeah, like even a little bit of rap.
That's me
though. That's mostly Cam though.
No. You really have a face.
I can't hear you, but I don't know if everybody else can.
Should I just say the thing again?
Why not?
Yeah, we classify ourselves as hard rock, heavy metal kind of deal, like in the vein of like Sabbath or Zeppelin, but really we draw influences from all genres, from, you know, like blues to jazz to even a little bit of rap on Cam's side here.
Cool. Yeah, that's really cool. I'm excited to hear your music tonight. So how can we kind of support your music? Or I know you have an Instagram, but like, how can we kind of support your music?
You know, if you go anywhere to search engines or streaming platforms, as well as social media, and you type in Flying Fuzz, the best way to support us is just to play the tunes. If you look us up, you'll find us. We're on just about anywhere.
Tell them about the Bandcamp. Yeah, tell them about the Bandcamp. Bandcamp, we also have our Bandcamp. We kind of have like everything there. And we also have a lot of like CDs and shirts and things like that for people to purchase where we'll like ship them out and stuff like that. That's really the best place to like get merch from us, because if you go through our Teespring and stuff, one, those are outdated shirts. And two, we don't really make anything off it. So.
Yeah. No, we don't. And it's mostly to pay for gas money, so.
Yeah, our Bandcamp, though, we have a bunch of cool archived live shows on there, so it's fun to just kind of browse around on there and hear what we sound like live and in studio.
Yeah, you get a good mix of the evolution of our sound over the past couple of years as well.
Cool. Yeah. Flying Fuzz, I think, is pretty unique. So I think, like, if you're searching that, you should be able to find you. Are you, like, a local Madison band? And do you have, like, local gigs that you wanted to shout out?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're from Madison. You know, half and half of us are, like, well, Cottage Grove, Monona, and then AJ's all the way from La Crosse. And we currently aren't playing out right now because we're in the midst of putting together our new EP.
Cool. Well, that's great. Thank you so much. And what do you have for us tonight?
Okay, the track we have for you guys tonight is called Disciple of Doom. It's a bit more of a heavier tune with a nice twist, some surprise instruments in there we haven't used before. It'll be the second track off of our upcoming EP Redeemer, which will be released this September.
Cool. Could you repeat that? Sorry, I couldn't hear you, but I don't know if everybody else could.
Okay. One more time. The track we're playing tonight is called Disciple of Doom. It'll be off of our upcoming EP titled Redeemer, which is coming out this September.
All right, cool. So I guess we can play it now. I'm excited. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Your eyes wide open, staring at me.
Thank you so much. That was Flying Fuzz, and this is IPLS on Air. We will be right back. Thank you. Just another down at the high noon. Passing one and two. We pass it, me and you. There's nothing left to do. It's just another day. It's just another day. It's just another day.
Dark Horse Art Bar is Madison's newest live music venue and art gallery. Check out these events at the Dark Horse. Sunday, August 21st is Lee Brains with Gloria Fires. Tuesday, August 23rd is Two Johns and a Nancy. Thursday, August 25th is Nate Ming and the Stolen Sea. And Friday, August 26th, it's Jason Vargas and the Apollos. Dark Horse Art Bar, 756 East Washington Avenue in downtown Madison. Online at darkhorsemadison.com.
Jimmy, that last band told me they drove all the way to Beloit for gummies.
Do they know they can get gummies right here in Madison at Quality CBD?
No, I guess not.
Yeah, Delta 8 and 9, THCP, pre-rolls, even bath balls and kombucha. They have everything you need.
I'm going to send them down to Quality CBD right now, 1222 Williamson Street in Madison.
Or find them online at qualitycbd.org.
To Chicago, Miss Maddie starts calling me.
Hey everyone, Jason Hafeman here, your host of Let's Get Local, the Dane by Local radio show. Thanks for tuning in each and every Saturday right here on Devil Radio 92.7. Wait a minute, you're not tuning in each and every Saturday at 11 a.m. on 92.7 for Let's Get Local? Oh, you're joining us on 1580 a.m. Got it. Either way, thanks for being along for the ride as we talk and learn about local businesses and nonprofits, and we remind you to think local first.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Madison, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on Devil's Radio, WTTN 92.7 FM and 1580 AM. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on Devil Radio, WTTN Madison.
Taking on Ready Whitey Talk Radio on both sides of the dial from McFarland to Wanakee, Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM.
How do you do it so well? When I tried every time I just fell to the ground, cause gravity's got quite a hold on me.
Calling is 844-967-2789. I'm coming in with Danielle Krim's music. Yeah, we are back with Owl, and I guess I kind of just want to start off kind of where we were going, but kind of what gives you hope with climate change?
I'd like to share something that I heard John Young say, and John Young is many things, including an advocate for the benefits of connecting with nature, and I was introduced to him through a group called Wild Harvest Nature Connection that I've talked about. And John Young said that children, all children, are born loving nature. They love the earth. And they have these synapses in their brain, all of us do. And they're just waiting for the culture to meet them so they can grow and make more connections. And if our culture or a nature-loving adult doesn't engage with a serve and return, a term I've learned through Kathleen Lockyer and my friend Meg Barrow, where a trusted adult is basically saying, oh, you think that's cool? I think that's cool too. Or like, yeah, that's important. Grow that synapse. So if our culture, if a trusted adult doesn't meet our children there in loving the earth, those synapses that were there to be curious and excited about the earth, they'll be pruned and the energy will be sent elsewhere. So I guess my learning and my hope is the knowledge that all children are born loving the earth. So our jobs as adults are to make sure they continue to love the earth, because why not? And Layla has something to say as well.
So this is kind of depressing, but it gets hopeful at the end. A lot of people like consider climate change like it's the end of the world, or like an apocalypse or something. And like worst case scenario, it is. But I think humans have gone through like a lot of apocalypses before. Like I think there was a point like when we were still like really early humans where we almost went extinct. And then the indigenous people of the Americas also faced an apocalypse when the British came. And every African slave who was brought to the Americas faced an apocalypse. And there are still black people there. Like, the ancestors of the African slaves who came to the Americas are still alive. There are, I mean, I'm one of them. There are,
the talk about racism, and I think that was pretty cool because I got to learn a lot and then also help out in the making of something that would help other people learn a lot. I think there's still a lot more that we could all do, but that's one thing.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a little bit of a follow-up to that question and kind of about that mural? Because I know a lot of people live local in Madison. I was wondering, like, where that is, or,
It's on by Neuhauser Pharmacy. I think it's just...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, on Monroe Street.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you.
To continue the thing about MOSAP, I really like what they did, and I like the mural. I think in the future, maybe... I don't know if OWL or maybe just MOSAP, like, we could do more. Because the mural is really nice, but, like, in the end, it's a mural, you know? Like, I think we could raise money for more things and to help combat racism. And for climate change, we haven't really done as much as we did for MOSAP, but I remember Wesley saying once something about how, like, the more connected people feel to nature, the more they want to take care of it and conserve it, and how, like... Mm-hmm. This is helping people feel more connected to nature. So, like, in a kind of roundabout way or in, like, a little bit more distanced way, that's a way that maybe it helps climate change.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking this question, Noemi, because it got us talking earlier today, and I think we all sort of agreed that there's more work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think there always is. And I really enjoy kind of the way that you bring in the intersectionality piece to something that's, you know, talking about our outdoor environments, because they're not all equal. And there's a lot of division in kind of the outdoor environments that, you know, we might not have the same abilities to have those same, privileges as to having these, like, natural environments in the areas that we live in. So that's interesting too. I don't know. For me, I think this, coming back to, like, the beginning of the interview, but what are some of the lessons that you hope that the students kind of leave with, or what are some of the lessons that you think that you will leave with?
I can start, but I'm sure others have more to say. I don't know. I mean, for me, I want kids to make friends. I want them to have fun. I want them to have a chance to be curious, to wonder, to learn, and to have a greater love and appreciation for nature, or to have friends to meet them there, cultivate that.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. I think I'm going to move kind of to your call of action, because I know that that's important to you. And I want to make sure that you have enough time to kind of talk about that, because this is a wonderful program. I was just wondering if you had any calls to action that, if people want to get involved.
Yeah. So, of course, I'm going to remind everyone to spend more time outside. And maybe that means signing up for nature programming. But nature is for everyone, not just the folks who sign up for stuff or who have backyards or a bunch of free time to go on a family hike. If we want all students to have quality outdoor education, it needs to happen in public schools. And there's a lot of good things happening in public schools right now. And Dr. Jenkins and Kaylee Jackson, I'm talking to you. If you want to accelerate growth, like you say, outdoor learning is worth looking into. Lots of teachers in the public schools and private schools are carving out time to take their students outside. Shout out to my colleagues at Midvale, Lincoln, and Wingra. And the kids in those classes are loving it. They show up on those outdoor days. They're not absent, right? And then guess what? They're there for literacy, too. oh, and they're more regulated because they just spent some time outside and their needs, their physical, emotional, mental, all those needs are getting met. And then I know academics are important. So just to give a concrete example for literacy, you know, if students are learning to read and they come across the word birch, for example, like a birch tree, they might be able to sound it out. But what does the picture look like in their head if they've never had an interaction with a birch tree, if they've never peeled the bark and started a fire with it? And knowing what that tree is will improve their comprehension. My call to action is outdoor learning happening in the public schools, in every public school, in every classroom, because all kids deserve to have interactions with nature, to learn and play in nature, to experience the positive health benefits from nature. And that's going to have to start at the top with permission, with encouragement and training to make time for these important lessons that can only happen outside of the walls of the classroom. I don't know if you all have any calls to action.
Yeah.
I can just back up Wesley. So I grew up going to public school, and I remember every single time that we had a class outside, whether that was because there was construction dust, so we were all coughing, or because I had a teacher that decided it was a good thing to go outside, it was always memorable and always made me happy. And I always paid so much more attention and learned so much more than when I was sitting in a classroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can add, I had a science class this last year in eighth grade in which we went outside almost every day for science unless the weather, it was like super cold. And in that class, I learned more than I have in like any other class in like my whole school career. And that was amazing. It was like the class I looked forward to every day. So I think going outside is super important and you can learn a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can also just add in my own experience. I know from going to public school as well and being able, I remember the teachers that allowed us to go outside and allowed us to kind of observe and work in nature. And I also want to uplift the kind of talking about the Madison admin for the school district and how important it is for them to look at attendance rates, and you talking about the attendance rates going up when you bring in that outdoor piece to that. And I want to definitely kind of, you know, it's very, you know, it's it kind of, it's that direct connection, right, from attendance rates to the outdoor learning and really seeing those goals get made in MMSD. But yeah, I do want to thank you so much to Owl, to Flying Buzz, Evan for producing this. Tune in next week to learn about Electric Little Free Libraries and our season finale. Thank you so much. This is Noemi, and that's the sauce. Good night.
Never knew what I was here to do, but now I met you and you changed my point of view. I'm flying, take me to the sky, let's go now. I used to be so afraid, but you've shown me the way. Take me flying today and I'm never stopping, cause I got you right there.